never grow old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you today. Appreciate you coming to the house of the Lord. Those that are out there, wherever they're out there, as far as they know, we only have two church members. It's Miss Betsy and this sister. I know their vision as they watch the service is this, that everybody else in the church is up against the wall. Afraid that the camera will see them. But to you out there, there are a few more here besides Miss Betsy and this sister. Amen. God is so good to us. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will. Good to see you, Miss Margaret. Glad you're doing better. To the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. We are in the midst of the subject of voices from devils, unexpected voices from devils. We read a little bit last week about what devils have to say, and we'll emphasize some more of that here just a little bit later. We have dealt with the subject of the debate about devils, just exactly what they are. Are they fallen angels or other entities? And we've come to the conclusion that a demon is a disembodied spirit that craves to be or have a body. Then we talked about the description of devils, demons in the Bible. We found that they are described as evil spirits, lying spirits, familiar spirits, and unclean spirits. This morning we're going to move to the next subject, which is simply this, the desire of demons. What do demons want, or what do they strive to do? Well, we're going to look into a little bit of that this morning in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. Now, Jesus has made the religious crowd mad. He and his disciples have gone into a field and they pulled grain, they pulled corn on the Sabbath day. They got mad about that. Then he healed a man that had a withered hand on the Sabbath day, and they got mad about that. So we're going to take up right after those two incidences in verse 14. Here was the result of him doing what he did on the Sabbath. Verse 14, Matthew 12, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. But there's that wonderful conjunction. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes follow him, and he healed them. How many? Some of them? Those that had faith. He healed them all. Understand this, dear friend. Healing is a sovereign act of God. Sometimes it's the result of the faith of the one that is ill. Sometimes it's the result of somebody else's faith. Sometimes it's just simply the result of the compassion of God. But of course, we don't have time to deal with that. So he healed them all in verse 16 and charged them that they should not make him known. Now, we're trying our best to make him known today, aren't we? He said, now look, don't go telling everybody about what I did. Amen. Amen. Why? Jesus did not come to create a circus. He did not come to create even a following. He came to save lost sinners. But the more he was identified because of what he did, the more enemies he made, and the more they wanted to kill him. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved. How I love that. Amen. Now, go down to verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David, or the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. I'll deal with him in a later message, probably. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Listen, don't ever get in an argument with Jesus. You're going to lose every time. Now, here's the key. I asked the question many Sundays ago. Why do you not see in the Old Testament demon possession like you see it in the New Testament? We read about devils, but we don't see anything about demon possession in the Old Testament. Look at verse 28. Here's your key. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. There were two signs that were absolute proof that Jesus was the Messiah. Number one, he opened the eyes of the blind. Do you ever remember a blind person being healed in the Old Testament? That was one of the things it said about Messiah when he came. He would open the eyes of the blind. Not simply the spiritually blind, but the physically blind. Amen. You see, the opening of the physically blind was simply to prove that he could open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Amen. And so his casting out devils that no one had ever done before, and the reason that they manifested himself every time he got around, was because he was the first challenge that ever came to them. Amen. Now, if you want to stir up the devil, then just challenge him. If you don't want any problems out of the devil, then just go on and be lukewarm and do your thing. He won't ever rise up against you. Why? You're no threat, but Jesus was. Amen. Now, look what he said. He's talking about himself and the devil. In verse number 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Now, he's using an illustration that is easily understood. It's simply this. If a fellow decides he's going to break into another man's house and take his goods, take his house, he better first know that he's going to have to overcome the resident that is in that house. Jesus calls him what? The strong man. Now, who's he referring to there? He's referring to Satan. He's referring to the devil. And what he's saying is, I've entered to his house, I've entered into his house, and I have bound him, and thus I have spoiled his house. Hallelujah. Yeah, you wouldn't think that Jesus would portray himself as a breaking and entering type of fellow, would you? But that's what he did. He came, he broke into the devil's house, amen. He came to this earth to destroy his kingdom, amen, and to bind him. Glory to God. That's good news for the saints of God. That's proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Now let's go over to verse number 43. Verse number 43, we're going to follow this theme. Here's what Jesus said. When the unclean spirit, now we've already determined that an unclean spirit is a devil, it is a demon, it is an unholy spirit. When the unclean spirit or demon is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my, what's the next word? House, from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, just like he left it, but it has been swept and garnished. Now, what's he called? An unclean spirit. Unclean spirits don't clean house. They don't do dishes. So when he left the house, it was a wreck. That's what devils do, amen. But when he come back, he found it cleaned up. But the problem is the first description. First thing he found was that it was, what's that word? Empty. Empty. The man had put nothing in his place. He remained empty. Son, it doesn't do any good to get rid of the devil, the unclean spirit, if you don't put something in his place. Amen. And so we see, verse 45, then he goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? He originally had one demon in him. When it was all said and done, now he's got eight. Now here's the point of this. Look what he said in the latter part of the verse. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. This was a message for Israel that we'll deal with. Now I want to read one other verse or two other verses. If you will flip in your Bible over to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Keep your finger there in Matthew 12, because we'll be coming back there to deal with a few things there. But go over to Revelation chapter number 18. Revelation chapter 18, and we'll deal with the message then. Revelation 18, verse number 1 and verse number 2. John said, after these things I saw. There's that expression, you remember I mentioned before. How many times the expression is used, I saw, in the book of Revelation. He said, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the, now notice the next word, habitation. Habitation of what? Devils, and the hold of every foul bird, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So what's he talking about? Babylon, which goes back to the original Babylonian mystery religions. Mystery Babylon has become the habitation of devils. We see in Matthew 12, well, it talks about a demon being gone out of his house. Now, understand this. A demon does not tire of his house and decide, well, you know, I believe I'll go across the railroad tracks where better people live than these Murphys over here and see if I can't find me a better residence. That ain't the way it happens. A demon only leaves if he is driven out, if he is thrown out. Now, what has Jesus done in Matthew 12 several times up to this point? He's cast out devils. Amen. And so he goes looking for another place, but all he finds is waterless places. That's what the word dry places means, amen. So he comes to a conclusion. He said, I'm going to go back to, what did he call it? I'll return to, notice the possessive pronoun, my house. My house. You see, he'd been there so long, that fellow was his. That house was his, amen. So the first point of my message when it comes to the desire of demons is that they desire a residence. Demons, being disembodied spirits, they don't like to just float around. They're not like Casper the Friendly Ghost that we saw in the comics and the cartoon movies that we watched as kids. No, they desire, they extremely want a residence to dwell in, to be in, because they can do nothing on their own without having a dwelling place. So they desire a residence. Babylon has become the what? Habitation, the residence of devils. This devil said, I will return to my house. Amen. Now, because of the day which we live in and the foolishness of Hollywood, we come to the conclusion that all demon-possessed people are extraordinarily ugly and do weird things and all and growl. And that's what we perceive of being a devil-possessed man. And some of that is true, but not always. Remember, we had four descriptions of demons that we've already covered. Amen. The first demon-possessed man, we read about him last week. Where did he find that demon-possessed man? He found him in the house of God. He found him in a synagogue. Did the rest of the people, as soon as Jesus come in, did they point at him and say, Jesus, I want you to know there's a man over there and he's full of the devil, did he? No. Jesus taught them. What happened? That demon exposed himself. He literally screeched, is what the language says, amen, because he knew who Jesus was, and he made comments about what he knew, and we're going to deal with those later in the message, should I be blessed enough to live so long. So, if you're looking for a devil, where are you going to look for them? You're going to look for their house. I just asked Gidget, I think her name's Elise, is that your real name? What is it?
Lisa.
Bruce? Lisa, okay. I was going up 177 the other day, and I saw a lady putting out her garbage out of a pickup, and I said, that looked like Gidget. That's what I called her. I said, that looked like Gidget. So I asked her this morning where she lived, and she said, no, she don't live there, but it was her. So, you see, I asked her what? Where she lived. Why? People are associated with where they live. If you want to find somebody, what do? I didn't know where Brother Jamar lived, and he lived in the woods. But fortunately, I've got this little thing in my car that I barely know how to use, and you push the button. It says, where you want to go, old man? And I give him the address. And whenever I left, it said, half a mile up here, turn left. I like those kind of directions. Carried me right to Brother Jamar's front yard. You see, how did I find Brother Jamar? His address, amen. So if you want to find a demon, you need to find his residence. Where he is. Now, where might you possibly find a devil then? Number one, as we've already seen in Matthew chapter 12, you will find a demon in people. Not always we're going to deal with those other aspects. You'll find them, number one, in people. There was a demon-possessed man. There was a blind man, a deaf man, a dumb man. And the result of that oftentimes, not always, was because of a devil, amen. And Jesus would cast them out. The demons that Jesus encountered, things were getting real hot and heavy in the church about then. We had Sunday night services, so my custom was on Sunday nights, I would always come out to the church early. And I would sit right there. There were only two rows, so I would sit on the pew there on the end. And I would go over my message for the evening, you know, it's quiet. And Miss Ann would come out later. So I went out to the church and I'm sitting on that pew. And I'm going over my lesson. And I hear the door to the church open. Double doors, just like what we've got out here, but there was no foyer there. You just come in and you're in. And I hear the door open and close. Well, I assume it's Ann. Remember the tile that I was telling you about. Then I heard the footsteps on the tile. But it was real light, like somebody was trying to sneak up on somebody. I said, Ann's going to sneak up on me and try to scare me. So I acted like I was a studying, and I listened to the footprints, the footsteps, and they walked down the aisle. I followed them. When they got right beside me there, before she could shout and scare me, I turned and I shouted at her. But there weren't no her. There weren't no her. Once again, all the hair. I ran to the door and I busted it open, and Ann was just coming out of the trailer. I said, Ann, did you come out here to the church? She said, no, I'm just now coming out of the trailer. That's when my eyes were open to the reality of devils. They occupy people, but they also occupy places. Not only did that church have people in there that were possessed of devils, but that very building was possessed of devils. Now, the more I learned about the history of that church and all, the more I realized I was dealing with what we preached about, a familiar spirit. You remember me telling you that a familiar spirit was often a familial spirit? That they remained in a certain family and they passed down generation to generation. As I listened to people to tell me the history of that church, I saw that very thing was happening. One of the men who gave that land to the church, he's dead when I came along, but he wrote in the thing that if it ever ceased to be a church, it went back to his family. Now, his family was that demon-possessed man I was telling you about. But I had a football coach in church with me, and he told me that when that man was an old man, he was stronger than he was. He had a supernatural strength about him. And I remembered then about his boy, and I said, I'm dealing with a familial spirit. And sadly, that was not the only family. Now listen, I learned very little through Bible school that was useful to me in preaching or pastoring. I don't know why you've got to have a document, amen? They never ask you the right questions. But brother, I was learning by experience. I had no idea until then. Now I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You better be careful what you bring into your house. I don't know how many of you, many years ago, most everybody saw it, that old film called The Exorcist. Do you remember how that demon got in that house? Y'all don't want to tell me you watched it, do you? That's a long time ago. You're excused. I watched it. My professor watched it at school. It came through an idol that she had brought into that house. It came from the Middle East or somewhere. I don't remember that. You better be careful what you bring in your house. A lot of us like antiques, don't we? You better be careful. Certainly don't allow no Ouija board and that kind of stuff to come in your house. You're inviting demons into your house whenever you do that. And when they come in, I can tell you, they will become familial demons. They will become family devils. And when you're dead and gone, if Christ hasn't done a work in you, then my friend, that devil's going to be passed on to your children. And I saw it in that community. That demon-possessed man had a boy who was a school teacher. And he was just the same as him. The night they voted me out, he got up out of the pulpit. The pew was coming to get me. They were going to whip me. But an old man there who loved me said, you better sit down, boy. And he sat down. Amen. That's what I was dealing with. And when they voted me out that night, that Wednesday night, they intended to do me harm. Now, I'm going to share with you tonight stuff I haven't shared with anybody, but I'll be dead soon. I knew they intended me harm, and others knew they intended me harm. And when we came out of that church, that old man I was telling you about, well, I look forward to seeing him in heaven. He knew it too. And when we came out the door of that church, me and Miss Ann, and they surrounded us, he pulled a baseball bat out from behind the seat of his car. And he said, I'm going to tell every one of you, lay a hand on them, I'm going to lay your brains upside that brick wall. That don't happen in church, does it? Oh, you let the devil get stirred up. It's going to happen. Amen? And they followed me to the car. Now listen, they could have beat me all over that yard. That would have been fine. But you see that little woman sitting right there? Some reason, and I can't explain it, I love her. and I will kill you over her.
You ought not say that as